Hi, and welcome back to Crime at the Family Table podcast. I am one of your lovely hosts, Alyssa, and I'm joined by my, I need some good words, distinguished, honorable,
Ooh,
fabulous, creative,
sweet. Put some
highly
stank on
intelligent,
that.
gracious co-host, LaTanya. How are you doing,
Okay, girl.
friend?
Sniff off. I'm doing pretty good. I mean, as best as I can be in these like weird Philly times. If none of y'all know, right now in Philadelphia, we are dealing with there was a spill in the Delaware v River, and we're dealing with like a chemical spill. And they're saying like that it was basically mostly Bucks County that was a big concern, because in Philadelphia, the water system has not yet gotten too much infected, and the water is kind of low in the numbers. However, like people are treating this like a watering crisis, like a crisis, a really huge crisis. So like there's no water, like bottles of water in the stores. I mean, you might be able to find the individual bottles in the refrigerator, but like the packs of water that people like, they're gone. Even Dasani, which during the pandemic, Dasani was on the shelves. I am shocked.
I was cracking up yesterday. I was like, huh, but we're gonna not turn our nose up at Dasani now, huh?
Right, like it's so crazy. And like I was just telling Alyssa like that the like people are comparing it to like the Flint crisis, and I'm just like, actually, like, and I feel like because Flint has been going on for so long, I feel like we're so like removed from Flint that we don't realize what the real like the original cause of Flint crisis was. Basically, a company had came in and mess with the pipes, and the pipes are bad pipes. We have bad, they had bad piping, and the pipes are like rotted. There was a situation that literally happened in like I think the 18 or 1700s, where a mayor of a town in New York literally allowed a company to buy him out, and like, well, to buy him, and they put in wood piping inside of the ground to have that would use the pipes that people would use to go come to the house. And the pipes literally, if you could call them that, the wooden holes literally just were poor and poisoning people, and people were getting sick. And even then, they didn't really have proper filtration then either, but it's still like that comparable situation of like, damn, like water has kind of been a crisis like that we need to be talking about, because our politicians from that situation are so easily bought out, like, and are allowed to just put fucked up ass piping and things like that into systems just to save a buck or just to make a buck from a company who wants to promote something. So that's why you need to be involved in your counseling sessions. You need to talk to your representatives about things. Because especially what we're doing with Philadelphia, like the spill that's happening, I'm just like, where did it come from? What the fuck happened? Like, we need to be looking into this to make sure that this type of thing does not happen to people, because water is actually becoming a huge part of a very current environmental issue that we're dealing with. So definitely talk to your state representatives, really speak up about this, because we definitely want our children to have safe drinking water, and we want a world where we have safe drinking water in our homes. And that's definitely something that is becoming less and less of a common thing for people in our Western world. So
So pray for Philly. Keep us in your prayers. And definitely, we don't just need to be voting for the president. We need to be voting for local government as well. So,
yeah.
that
And
being said, oh, go ahead.
oh, so sorry. And another thing, right now there's like a huge thing going on with TikTok, with people wanting to block, like get rid of TikTok. And like, so legislation is being put past, like to hope that the TikTok would just go away. However, it's not just a one layered issue that you kind of got to focus on. You see TikTok as like this thing that we all interact with on a day-to-day basis, but a part of that would also be the government being able to control our internet and how we consume information. And this looks bad for everyone. Like how we, like, you know, we often, like, we look at North Korea and China crazy for having censorship, but literally that is what the, politicians of today want to do. They would like to use our internet and kind of suppress what we are able to, how we are able to engage in what we have in the internet. And that is not okay. We all need to be a part of that. So please talk to your legislators, call your state reps, even if they're Republican. I just was watching a TikTok video actually that said if you have a Republican senator and a Republican congressman, here's how you get around it. You basically tell them that if this bill passes, it could potentially look bad for their conservative news networks because Democratic people can, this can also give them free rein to block their internet, like Truth Social. So it just, hit on our side. Also, the pendulum also swings the other way. So yes, those are certain ways you can combat the suppression of voices across our internet waves, and even your favorite podcasters, they could be suppressed from this. Like, this is definitely where they can control Spotify and things like that. If they don't like it, it can be suppressed. So be careful and, look into things. All right.
That is great information. So I'm excited about this week's case. This person just makes me chuckle.
Man literally just he's a caricature. Like, it's not like when I think of him, like I think of like parlor clown, like court jester. Like, he just doesn't look like what I see as, like, I'm just like, what is this even a real person? Is this or even a real personality? And it's just so it's layered.
I think of Living Color sketches. That's like bad TV. That's what I think of when I think of.
I don't see him as a real, like, it's not like I don't see him as a real person. I'm like, this is someone who has literally made money off of just this persona. He looks like this persona. And it's a weird thing. It's just so.
Let's get to it. I'm excited.
All right, and before we get started, I wanted to guys give you a quick update about the murder case. So we discussed that last episode, and it was a doozy. That was a layered family of mess and craziness. And you guys really like enjoyed it. We got a lot of views last week, and I was like, okay, listen, look at us. Us doing that. And well, a new update is that Buster is looking like he is scrambling a little bit. M Buster Murdoch, the older Murdoch child, is being potentially looked into for the Stephen Smith case. So Stephen Smith case has officially been ruled a homicide. Wow, it's been a few years since his death has occurred. I think like 4 or 6 years. So almost 6 years since his murder happened. So they're looking into it. Buster is denying, and we shall see where they start sniffing around that, because just because it was ruled as a murder, as a potential homicide, does not necessarily mean there could be arrest. There are people that we know have died from homicide that do not receive justice, and because of how many years have went by, it that kind of gap in witnesses that could have been there, that could have been looked into. But really, we hope that more things come out about it. If you know something, say something, people. So if you know anything that could be helpful to the case, please call their local area and low country area, and please give Stephen Smith's family some justice, because and his friends and family definitely need it. On with the case for this week. So I want to give you guys a warning this week. I guess like this case does involve like violence. This is a pretty violent case. It does, have some themes that may be a little like ooh in it. So if it's not something that you really feel like hearing this week, please take a break, and we will look forward to hearing from and you hear some of our future episodes. Okay. All right.
Here
you we ready, go. Liz?
Let's get into it.
Okay. Jake Newfield, author of Don King's autobiography, Only in America, The Life and Crimes of Don King, has said he is a hip exploiter, an intelligent flesh peddler. He knows which fighters to steal, how to exploit anyone's vice, vanity, or insecurity. Ooh. And make a profit for himself. So, is that sound about right? Sound about right? Sounds about right. So if you haven't gotten it, this week we'll be talking about the life and crimes, pretty much, of Don King. And boy, oh boy, there are many of them. So we first want to start off with the fact that we are getting into Donald King's story, and that actually is his name. It's not a persona. I was like, did he put King at the end of it just to be like catchy? But no.
King. Huh, okay.
A king in his own right. I would kind of call him the king of the ring. That's, I think, what we're going to title this week's episode.
I would agree.
Yeah. So Donald King was born in Cleveland, Ohio, August 20th of 1931. His early story starts as shady as I think the rest of his life is. So Don King wanted to go to college, probably many young people around that time wanted to probably go to school and, you know, probably meet a girl, have a life, you know, things pan out. But, you know, he was a black man in the 40s. So he had to make a way where there wasn't no way. So to finance his college career, he started numbers running. And he ended up, like, acquiring such a notoriety name for himself. He was known on the streets as the Kid. His numbers running business led him to becoming a leader in racketeering. And he ended up going to school at Western Reserve, and he only stayed for a year because he said, well, this numbers running business is making me too much dough.
I was going to say, back then, the numbers running?
Yes, so he was a streets man. Like, he definitely knew how to make a dollar out of nothing. So he wanted to focus on that business because it was making him so much money at the time, and he really couldn't care less about anything else. So in 1954, Don King, though, was charged in the murder of Hillary Brown. So, I mean, he's only 23 at the time, and he's already getting a murder charge put on him. However, it's a little... Dang, you young.
Right. Especially for back then, and you get a murder. Okay.
But they do say, though, like, a lot of people's criminality kind of starts when they're young, before the age of 25, because that's before the brain develops.
True. Okay. Yeah. And Don King also was not... Proceed.
He wasn't a nice man. He was a skeezer in these streets, okay? So he murders Hillary Brown, but he is later cleared of all charges because it is ruled as a justifiable homicide. Why, you may ask?
Because that was my question.
It's because Hillary Brown, at the time of his murder, was robbing Don King's gambling house. But the gambling house in and of itself is illegal. Yeah. But throw that out the window. it's not even here. They don't even care about that. Because technically, Don was protecting his business. Like, he was attempting to rob him. So he was protecting himself. And he probably had a weapon at the time. And how it was done. So he gets off for that.
Everybody had a little piece. A little something back right. then.
Little pistol.
Well, I'm interested in hearing about her story. How she got caught up as a woman.
Oh, sorry. No, Hillary was a man.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, it's like, I was just like, wow, Hillary, that was a very, that's a very interesting name.
Marion,
I'm like,
D, Tony, Jamie, but never Hillary. Actually, I had an Uncle Beverly, so that's...
Yeah, we all know a Bev, like a Beverly. Like a Beverly, I feel like... Yeah, like I feel like kind of get with Hillary. That was interesting, and you know, recently I was watching this show called The Night Agent on Netflix. You definitely have to watch it.
That's on my list.
The main villain's name is Ashley.
I've heard of Ashley,
like a male Ashley.
Yeah, I think there was an Ashley in that group. Remember Old Town?
Yeah,
I think one of the guy with the spiky hair. Well, they all had spiky frosted tips. His name was Ashley. I remember. Oh, I
did not know that. Okay. All right. So maybe Ashley been around a block, but I haven't heard of that. Okay. Okay. Now I guess you can get away with the shortening Ash. Like, I guess. Yeah. And that can Hillary? Be feminine. Yeah, but I was like, Hillary?
I was so salty. Go ahead. So he murders this young man.
Yes, because he tried to rob his gambling house. And you would think he skidded past the law this time. Don is going to see the error in his ways, and he is going to change who he is. And you'll be wrong. And you'll be wrong. And you'll be wrong. Because Don gets convicted of second degree murder a few years later of Sam Garrett. So Sam Garrett at the time was 34, and he was an employee of Don for the gambling houses. And Don basically severely beat the shit out of him. He stomps him out on the street and beats him with a pistol, which caused Sam to die of his injuries. This was the craziest situation because there were witnesses to it. He was beating this man as the police were handcuffing him. Like, he was just, it was crazy. Like, it was witnesses to this. Everyone says he stomped him out, beat him with a pistol. The police say, I mean, yeah, take the police word with a grain of salt because, you know, we don't. Especially back then. So according to like everyone and Sam, is that Sam at the time had told people that he owed Don money. Sam said it was $600. Some say it was like it, but Don says it was $900. Sam says it was six. Don claimed that Sam followed him into a bar and like followed him outside the to his car and claimed he wasn't paying him shit and proceeded to threaten Don, which resulted in him defending himself. And they went to tussling and fighting, and he got the upper hand. And everybody's claim that Don had the upper hand because Don was actually bigger than Sam. So yeah, and I can imagine like this is just not looking good for him. And Don does not skate for this crime. Does not skate. So he does get convicted of murdering Sam for second degree murder. However, a few years is later reduced to non-negligent manslaughter, and he ended up only serving less than 4 years in prison. Some of the most notable people rallied around him. Those people would be the Ohio Governor Jim Rhodes, Jesse Jackson, Coretta Scott King, George Vannucci, Art Modell and Gabe Paul. These are some of the most notable names, like in some type of way. Like, I don't know who George Vinucic is, or I feel like I know who Art Modell is. I've heard of Art Modell and Gabe Paul somewhat. But Coretta Scott? Coretta?
Were some of these people white?
The Ohio governor, let me look up Jim Rhodes real quick while we're here.
Because I'm like, some of these names. I'm not
I'm
surprised
a
Jesse's back there.
lady. Yeah, because Jesse, listen, that mic was hot on Jesse. I just feel like he, yes, Jesse Rhodes was a white man, and he rallied behind Don King. But what I'm guessing was the thing with Jim Rhodes, because you got to remember, Don was a numbers runner. A lot of illegal business was going on, and he potentially was, and there it will be brought up later that there is probably some mafia dealings going on with Don. So I would not be, and Jim Rhodes is a Republican. So this is definitely, yeah, this is kind of weird that he would fight behind him so bad. And Jim, we're not gonna hold on to Jim. Jim's gonna come up soon again.
Oh God. You have to
So,
have some information on some of them, or and or somebody was in his pocket. Don King might be a little, he I don't want to, he's not dumb.
no, he's not.
Might be a little out there, but he ain't dumb.
He's eccentric. Like, when you think of Don King, the image that comes to my head is literally his hair.
That's
Like,
in the suit.
electric shock.
Just the hair with the
Just
gradient, the ombre of gray over
right,
the years, gray to white.
with a little, and it's been like that for years. It may have shortened because in aging you do lose some of your hair, it thins out. But literally, I can just imagine him in the morning putting some gel in it and picking it so it can go up, shaping it out. It's like he looked like an eccentric uncle or like a conspiracy theory guy that sells trinkets on the corner.
Except this guy was making money. Go ahead.
Bang.
I'm all
We
in.
haven't got like the real money man. Like, 'cause Don, yeah, he making some illegal bread, but the real money he's about to make soon, okay? So while Don King is in prison, this is why when you say he's a smart man, I think that that definitely comes out. So while in prison, he is reading a lot. Like, he is reading books, works of Shakespeare and Machiavelli. He is like ingesting books, and he's taking this time to really hone who he is. And also, while he is in prison, he listens on the radio to the fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, which would be, I believe, it's their second fight that he is listening to. Because they have, in total, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fight three times. All right, so, and the third fight, Don King is becomes the promoter of. So this is going to be a full circle moment for him. Speaking of Joe Frazier prepared for his first fight with Muhammad Ali in Philadelphia,
And
and
his
the and yes,
just, I
and
love
the Joe
it
Frazier.
when the Philly gets a shout out.
Right, I'm like, hey, look at us, we did copper. And the Joe Frazier gym is located actually on Broad Street. So if you are ever, it's like between Lehigh and kind of Cecil B. And it looks like an old, like it looks like a furniture store. But on, if you look at the wall, it literally says Joe Frazier gym, and it has like two boxing gloves on either side of it. Joe Frazier also is buried in Philadelphia. He's buried in like a funeral home that's not too far from us, Alyssa. And he his tomb, like his not tomb, his headstone, I mean, if you buried around Joe Frazier, you need to up your cookies, okay? He has this onyx with this engraving picture of him in the boxing stands. Like, he just, I'm just like, it's this big thing in the middle of like the cemetery. And I don't think that that's necessarily his headstone. It's just like kind of like the marker to let you know, like, Joe Frazier's around the block.
Yeah.
But it's like right here and it's huge. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, this is like crazy. So, Joe Frazier, Philly getting some love. Philly getting some love.
Rest in peace, Joe Frazier.
Rest in peace. And Muhammad Ali.
Yes, who I learned a lot about in the last like year or two. Yeah, hat goes off to him.
My hat goes, yeah, I liked him a lot. Some things about him, not so much, but like,
well, some things, but for the most part, he's all
for
right.
The most part, good. And so during why, like I said, he's in prison, he listens to this boxing match and he just thinks to himself, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to be a part of that world. Not boxing. No. He decides that he wants to be a boxing promoter. So some way, somehow, he gets connected to Muhammad Ali and he has Muhammad Ali participate in a charity match for in Cleveland for a hospital. This is going to come back up later. We're gonna spin the block on this one, but he does really well on this, and it seems that he's staying in this world. So he hooks up with Don Album, and he's also a famous boxing promoter, and he gets set up for different matches, and his biggest match that he set up, like, kind of pretty out the gate, like, even hooking up with Muhammad Ali, that's a big deal. But, like, early on, like, he's hooking up with Muhammad Ali, and I feel like that is definitely also because Don King is coming into this world with money.
In connections.
Yeah, so he had connections. He had that type of can rub elbows. And I'm going to say, for him to want to be a promoter, there has to be a certain level of charisma that he's coming in with. So he sets up the infamous Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire, which is known as the Republic of the Congo, the George Foreman and Muhammad Ali bout.
Wait,
and
that
they keep
was
calling
the
it.
First one?
Yeah, that's his first big one. Yes.
I was gonna say that's the one I know Don King for, but I didn't know that that was like his first big thing.
Yes, so it looks like he was in like setting up some other matches before that, but they were way lesser known, like, I guess, to kind of get his like head in the game. However, like, Muhammad Ali really pushed him to getting involved in the boxing world. Like, he was very influential to him getting into like promoting. So, and I'm just like, and I'm thinking to myself, like, what a life to live in, because like, we know Muhammad Ali as this, oh my God, bigger than life person, but imagine knowing someone like, because celebrity, I feel like back then, especially Black celebrity, was very much more obtainable. So like, these people were, it wouldn't be far-fetched to probably see person like Muhammad Ali in a diner.
Yeah,
like back then, or like Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. So like it was pretty probably common for people to have that. That's why when we look at our grandparents' old photo albums, we see them with like these famous like people, and you're just like, wait, what? And it's because they were kind of more attainable.
A lot of them were on like a local level in their, like, in their wherever they were living, they could go in the communities and not be sworn. I mean, obviously fans would come up to Muhammad Ali and people like that, but they wouldn't be like swarmed to the point where there's like paparazzi wasn't a thing for real. And, you know, they didn't have to really walk around with bodyguards and stuff like that. They could just be normal people.
Right. Oh, and also just something I just found out. Remember I said the guy George Vanucci was one of the people that promoted for like Don King to like have a lesser sentence. George Vanucci ended up becoming he was the mayor of Cleveland. He was the mayor of Cleveland at in the 80s. However, but he was always in politics. It was one of the governors. He was a former governor. Then he ended up becoming the Ohio State Senator. So, like, how is this man meeting these people? Like, it's just crazy to me.
Rackets. It's a racketeering.
It begins with an R, and it
Yep.
ends with a T.
Smart man.
So, smart man. Smart man. And then we kind of get into what we kind of, Don King goes into kind of like a streak. Like he's doing well. Like this boxing match, him promoting this big time televised boxing match pushes him into, the zeitgeist. However, that fight was not without its hiccup. So it was definitely difficult for him to get financing for the fight. So like the money that was used to pay the boxers and like pay like I guess the people that were working with them, he ended up going to the then dictator of Zaire, which is the Republic of the Congo, if like that's its former name. At the time, his name was Mobutu Sese Seko. And for money for the match. So he financed that match with millions of dollars, like 5 million. So each Muhammad and Muhammad Ali and George Foreman were each supposed to receive $5 million
A piece?
a piece.
That was a lot of money back then.
That's a lot of money, like $5 million. Like I don't even like whoa. But at the time, you got to think like Muhammad has been fighting. He did have the bouts with Joe Frazier before then. Like, so he is a notable boxer. So
Yeah.
it's not, I mean, but and George Foreman is a notable boxer as well. So I mean, I get it, but God damn.
That's a lot of money for then. Like,
Right. If we did the math for inflation, that has to be like $20 million. That
yeah.
has to be. All right, so now we get into the next big match that Don King promotes. And this one, I feel like it sets him in stone as the top promoter, the promoter to get for boxers. He ends up doing the Thriller in Manila. Yo, this is crazy. Like, so this happens in Manila, the Manila, Philippines, and this is the third fight between Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. And King held on to the title of the top boxing promoter, working with talents after that. Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Julio Cesar Chavez, Aaron Pryor, Bernard Hopkins, Ricardo Lopez, and many more. Like throughout the 70s and 80s, Don King was the go-to promoter. But, of course, this is Don King we're talking about. And Don King is not without his bullshit. So,
What's the
Don,
catch?
there's a catch to everything. There's a catch to everything. So, Don King basically is just known as like a snake. He's a snake in this industry. This man has sneaked out player. Like, I mean, it kind of starts out like with him having issues with, the money in boxing. And even before that, like his whole racketeering, this is a man about money. He wants to come out the top dog. So if George and Muhammad were both supposed to come out with 5 million each, I'm gonna bet you that Don probably came out with 8 million.
It's giving Bad Boy Records. I'll use
It's giving Death Row.
it. It's giving these 90s recording contracts. Goes woo.
This man is just a scam off. So let's get into some of the criminal things that Don King has kind of levied against him. So in 1982, Muhammad Ali sues Don King for $1.1 million for unpaid wages to him. Larry Holmes said Don King himself cheated him out of $10 million. Tim Witherspoon said that Don King blackmailed him for exclusivity to him. Mike Tyson had sued Don King for $100 million for fraud over several fights over a decade. But we're gonna get into like the controversy. So let's start off with the Muhammad Ali situation. So Muhammad Ali had levied a $1.1 million lawsuit against Don King. However, none of this money is ever paid to him because Don King is a snake in the grass, and Muhammad Ali in the hot being hospitalized. And I guess at this time, financially, he was in a rough patch. You know, a lot of times, like even though he has this money, he has to pay people that work with him. He has to do things for his team. So yes, $5 million was probably paid to him, and like people see it as that way, and it's just different for Black people. And money, he probably don't got nobody checking his book. So he was down and out, and he was in the hospital. So Don says, "Hey, how about I pay for your hospital bill, and we call it even." So he gives him $50,000, and Muhammad Ali drops the lawsuit against him.
I can understand why he did it.
Yeah, I can understand. Like, I mean, at the time he needed the money, like to cover things, and like he needed the money. But this isn't the first time Don kind of is in some shady dealings. The earliest shady dealing we get with him in boxing promotion is, remember that charity boxing match that's in it? So Don King sold, according to allegations from Don Emblem, that match, because he worked with him on that match as well. Don King sold 85 K in tickets, 85K in tickets.
Uh-oh.
All right. And in 82, Don King underpaid Larry Holmes by 300K. I did not find information if he ever paid Larry Holmes any money, but knowing Don, probably not. Sometime in 86, he frauded Tim Witherspoon out of $2 million for his London fight against Frank Bruno, which was a title match. Tim Witherspoon took King to court for $25 million in fraud and conflict of interest. King interfered with Tim Witherspoon fighting, however, and then ended up trying to like battle him in court like for so long that he ended up just getting Witherspoon to kind of come down to $1 million, which ended up being just a crazy situation because even though he paid him 1 million, because he messed with him in court for so long, Tim never saw that money.
Because you're getting caught up in lawyers' fees and all that other stuff, court fees.
In 1990, King promised Meldrick Taylor, another boxer, $1.3 million, then reneged on that and offered him 300K in a check. Don Emlem then went, goes on to say that he threatened to have Taylor killed for objecting to the 300K. And apparently, many believed that Meldrick Taylor's fight with Julio Cesar Chavez was rigged. So apparently, the match was going on, and something happened within the match that was seen as like Meldrick had the it seemed like the upper hand through the fight, and then all of a sudden he lost at the end. And it seemed that Don had some say so in that, and that was probably because of the situation with the $1.3 million that they believe that this happened. In the 90s, King tried to monopolize the sport of boxing, and here's how he tried to do that. So if me and you are a boxing team. Like, we're boxing against each other. And I that Don is promoting me. So even if I lose, Don has it contractually obligated, has put you under contractual obligation that if you beat his fighter, that you will, he will now represent you as a boxer. So now, regardless of the situation, Don King always only works with champions. He only works with winners, technically. Free. And he was known to have like a huge issue, like with people that didn't agree to this. Like, so he could mess you up in boxing me, like mess you up in getting matches to come together and things going down the line if you did not agree to sign this contract. So you would have a really hard time. The thing with the Tim Witherspoon situation was that he not only like reneged on money and owed him money for this stuff, but it seemed that he stopped Witherspoon from boxing for a number of years, which caused him to be out of the age range of where you're most lucrative in the sport. Yeah. Ooh. Crazy. All right, in the 80s, Don was tied to organized crime. In a 1991 article, he does admit that he has association with John Gotti and Matthew Maddie the Horse Ilianalo, and he admitted to bribing a judge for the manslaughter charge that his case with Sam Garrett ended up being. So, allegedly. No, we're gonna say allegedly because I didn't read that article, but he said it. I didn't say it and said it. In the same article, it was found that Don was under investigation by the FBI for money laundering through the boxing promotion business. And it was basically an undercover agent had went through, tried to basically see if he could launder money, and it ended up a mafia crime family ended up calling him and saying that, like, no, don't leave him alone. Don works for us. And so from that call, it ended up that they tried to get a tax evasion against Don King, and he skated on that. Oh, and that crime family that was potentially the people that called this FBI undercover agent was the Genovese crime family.
These are big known families. And, yes. and the big known people. Maddie the Horse is definitely a guy that I've heard of before. Of course, John Gotti. He's the guy.
Big guy. And in 98, Mike Tyson confronted King after finding out King had misappropriated funds of upwards $20 million. Mike Tyson has said that he tracked down Don King at one point and beat him outside of the hotel in L.A. Like, he ran up on this man. Like, he found out where he was staying and ran up on him. I don't feel like it was a fair fight, but we also got to understand that Mike Tyson potentially was being drugged with lithium for a number of years by his ex-wife. And so he's not right in the brain. And he's also in a sport where he's getting hit in the head a lot. So this does not make a person a logically minded person. And very recently, they actually met up with each other. Like, they were at an event together. And Don, I think, tapped him on the shoulder and like tried to act like they were cool. And Mike was just like, yo, like, just like kind of like get the F off me. And when he was asked about it and asked about the situation, he was just like, he was just being pretending like we were cool and we're not friends. Like, you have done me dirty. And he sued him for $100 million. However, he ended up only getting $14 million, and he, just like with an earlier person we talked about, Tim Witherspoon, who received $1 million, he probably didn't get that money because he fought him in court for a while. And of course, Mike has to pay lawyers' fees, his accountants. This was probably at a time where Mike was probably getting a forensic accountant, which celebrities kind of get to basically just look through and see where money is supposed to be. And it ain't there, something's wrong.
Yep.
Mike Tyson has said of Don, he is a wretched, slimy, reptilian motherfucker. He would sell his own mother for a dollar.
If you can imagine that with Mike Tyson's little lisp, that
So,
was a lot of, because he just was like slimy reptilian. I'm just like, that's a lot of lisp in there.
your mother's back there.
Oh, Michael. I'm not surprised. This is what I've always heard about Mike Tyson. This is what I've always heard about Don King from what I can remember about learning about him in like even Black history that my dad used to teach me. Like he was like, Don King was not a good guy.
At all.
But he still worked, like he's still out here. And I think a lot of it has to do with his connections and his ties to certain people. He can still get away with things.
After doing the fight between Rumble in the Jungle, the Ali and Foreman fight, he was pardoned by the governor, James Rhodes, for his crime. So Don King, got away with that one too. It's off his record. It's just done. He's not, wow. Like, imagine.
Money talks.
Yes. Look. So by 83, though, he also had promoted 12 world champion fights. And in 94, he had promoted upwards of 47 fights at this time. So, like, this man, yeah, like it was kind of like, put some respect on my name.
He was the guy. He was good at what he did. Not the skimming off the top part that he was probably doing, but
The
he was good at what he did. He could bring the money in, he could get the butts in the seats and
he could get the butts in the seat, okay? And it doesn't end there. In 99, the Fed seized records in King's office due to word that King had been getting payoffs for boxing matches. Nothing ever really came of that either.
he's a man that knows how to make things disappear.
Like, really, really. Like, and I'm pretty sure he'd been in this game for quite a long time. Especially like he's been working this game for a long time. He knows already how people think of the boxing world, and
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was getting money under the table, because with that Julio Chavez fight, that sound like, when I was reading it, like, I don't really understand boxing, but it definitely seemed like that was rigged. Because, and a lot of people see that, they think that champions are not, they don't necessarily work for the champion, the champion chips they have, that they really buy those. Like, if you have enough money, or you have good enough of connections, or somebody's willing to really do something, you could become those people. So boxing 100, like, it's not 100% about the talent of the boxer, and it's kind of scary. So where is Don King now, this reptilian motherfucker?
This gray-haired menace. Where's he now?
I'm just like, oh my God. And I had to peep the M effort in. Like, I had to, because it's just like, he said that with his whole chest,
He
okay?
did.
In 2016, Don King was, it was plans put in place by Cleveland officials to have a street named after Don King. This was definitely for, like, the work Don King did in the boxing world. But not only that, Don King had saved a newspaper in Cleveland from bankruptcy, and it really, he really had a notable name in Cleveland, regardless of like how we see him. However, this is Don King we're talking about. And where his name runs, drama really is right next to him. It's not following. Tangent. The council people decide that they're not going to put it on the same street as the Call and Post newspaper, which is on Shaker Boulevard, they decide that they're thinking that let's put it on Cedar Avenue. And this is a very controversial street because if you want to go back to Sam Garrett, that is the same street that Sam Garrett lost his life to
He
Don.
beat that man to death on Cedar Avenue.
Yes. And there literally is like a whole email exchange between multiple council people and telling like, hey, like, this is effed up. We should not do this. Like, in like so many words, it's kind of like, and you kind of can almost tell like they almost want to say the F word because after Eric Mays on TikTok, council people be getting jiggy with it. They be just, it be rough and tumble, okay? And so, yeah. So that was like, let's not do this. But it ended up not happening. The Don King way never came to be. It kind of went in with legislations. They said like a lot of people are asked like for type of commemorance for family members and things like that. Like Don King was one of them, and it was a part of something that would have been buried anyway, but it was notable because like what would make them move it from where it would make sense at on Shaker Boulevard to Cedar Avenue where this murder happened. And the councilwoman who wanted to make that move stated that she did not know
Of
that
course.
that's where.
Of course you didn't. He got it buried pretty deep. You would have literally had to be digging into his life to know that. And I'm sure in that particular, like where they're from, it was buried.
Yeah, buried and like, and but like, it just like everybody was so confused. They was just like, why would you move it? Like, why would you move the street to somewhere where it doesn't make sense? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, just like for Jim Gardner, for example, he just got a street named after him and it's right by the Channel 6 station on City Avenue. It's on the street where it is. It's Gardner Way.
Love him
Love him. And
Carter.
it, like that would make that makes sense. Those two things are congruent. They
They go together real bad.
real bad, real bad. But luckily the street never happened, so thank goodness. And also one of the councilmen, I really want to I'm gonna have to think about his name, but like he basically said that like he doesn't even understand why it's so many people trying to get streets named after people because it's like we not That's not even on the top of the list of things we should be concerned about.
That part.
I was like, ooh, ooh,
He
ooh,
should
be quiet.
claim.
So, well, that is the life and treachery of Don King. Don King, though, has come on, out on top. The villain has won. Don King is worth a little estimate of $150 million.
Still to this day.
To this day, is 91 years old.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And his wife, he was his wife died. He was married to his wife since like the 50s, and she died in 2010. What was his wife's name? Let me look this up because there was so much craziness. Like I had to get through so much of who he was that I just felt like I just had to skip the marriage. I had to
Yeah.
skip the marriage,
Because it just was not relevant to the story.
right? Because I think maybe she was a sweet old lady. I don't know. I don't know. And
Love you too.
let me see 1 second. Oh yeah, Henrietta.
Was gonna say Alberta. I knew it was gonna be like a good old Southern down home name. I knew it. I knew
Yeah.
it. Henrietta, she probably was a nice lady too. Or she wore a lot of furs and she knew what was going on, but she kept quiet.
Right. Listen, and he had one biological daughter, Debbie, and a son named Eric, and an adopted son named Carl. He has five grandchildren and three great grandchildren. Some other things to note about him is fairly recently when Don, another Don. was in the zeitgeist, Donald Trump, he promoted him and was like a really big promoter of Donald Trump. There is a video out here where he actually like says the N-word on like live television. Please, I ask that you look this video up because it's funny as shit. Because like just seeing this man with hair that it just looks electrified, and like you just cannot take him seriously. And again, remember when I said the whole thing about the caricature element? Of course, Donald Trump is going to have that. Because remember the two ladies, that the two black
Feminist.
were like that were like following around Trump, and they were supposed to be like the black aunties, like that look, like he likes caricature people because he's like he likes the black community. Get the black community. Don't nobody like Don King.
Or Donald Trump. I think one of them actually died. It was either Diamond or Silk. One of them. I think it
Oh,
was,
Diamond
I
and
think
Silk, my
Diamond
bad.
died.
Diamond and Silk, and of course they have to be named Diamond and Silk. And it's believed, side note, that she died of COVID. A lot of people believe that she actually died from complications of COVID, but that's neither here nor there.
What goes around comes
Ooh,
around,
spin the block,
and
spin
it
the
comes back around and slaps you, and you lose your hair. So,
block. And Don is living his life, you know, with his loud clothes and even louder personality. And like I said, looking like a freaking conspiracy. Like, just like Alyssa just looked at a picture of him, and it's crazy.
he looks like, this is gonna sound so bad, but he looks like Buckwheat from the Little Rascals in certain, like he's like, yeah, like he's supposed to be like, oh, Tay, like I, it's a
Yo, for
caricature.
real.
His teeth look great though. He clearly got some, they're clearly false teeth, but he got some,
Right.
so the
Yeah.
latest picture I found is a picture of him engaging with Donald Trump, but
Of course. Of course. And
I
he's
just got the
wearing,
American flag
and
around
in
his neck.
2001 and 2007, he's literally wearing the same denim ass jacket with these stars. And like, he just looks like he shops at like those little trinket stores when you go on holiday. Like, it's just so insane to me.
For him to have that much money still, like, I'm also looking at a picture of his wife, Henrietta. She actually does look like a really nice lady. He just now, as an old man, and this is bad, but like old, really old men, they have a smell to them. I don't know.
Yes. Oh my God. Leather smell. They smell like leather.
Yes, it's just it's just he looks like he smells like
Like
an old man.
book.
I don't. Well, good luck. I keep wanting to say Don Lemon. That's another guy for another day. But
That's another guy for another day.
good luck,
Yeah.
Don King. It's gonna come back to you, baby. So be prepared when you hit them pearly and/or fiery gates.
Listen, and I really just, oh, sadly, Henrietta had died from stomach cancer. That's painful. That's a painful way to go. I had an uncle who passed from stomach cancer. That's sad. And you know, it does, she seems like a very nice lady. Also, Don wasn't the only one with these lawsuits. One of his children, I believe it was either Carl, I think it was Carl, was also sued with him in relation to one of the lawsuit. So like he even got, it's a family affair.
Wasn't Carl the I low key think Don King might be a good grandpa. I don't know.
I mean, he's interesting.
He was Don King is very impressive from just taking his criminal, actually no, leaving his criminal stuff in. I'm impressed for a man with little education in the time period that he came up to achieve what he achieved, as an undereducated black man in America in the 30s through on up. I'm impressed by that. I'm impressed by his tenacity, his charisma, but he is a murderer.
A murderer and a con man and a snake in the grass, like I said.
And a M.
Yeah, because I feel like we're going to have to start bleeping things because, like, oh, yeah, like Henrietta definitely looks like the church lady who really makes the best brownies.
I was gonna say she makes a good pie. Yes.
Like, her desserts slap.
She looked like she gave a good hug. Like, it's all right.
It's okay. Come on. Come on, Grant. Don't sit on my lap. Let me give you $20. Like,
Now, see, maybe that's why I think Don King's is a grandpa, because he probably put a little $100 in your birthday card.
and what's so weird to me though is like there's literally a picture of him like even younger. His hair has always looked like that, and it's wild to me.
He probably got a perm early on when they was popular back in the 30s. He got a conk. A conk, was everything called it a conk? He got a perm in his hair when he was growing it out. His hair probably just was like, it's just
And
thin.
also, oh my God, on the Star Spangled jacket that he wears is a picture of him.
I seen it on his shoulder.
Oh my God. And it has like the American flag. Like, you know this man. He is not a black man that we are looking to towards in like the black community. Because black people, we live in America. We all love America. Oh, well, I also see an old picture of him with Donald Trump and Ivanka Trump from
Oh.
back in the day at the Trump Plaza.
That's what I'm saying. It's about the money. Like he's scheming and scamming just like Donald Trump scheming and scamming. They probably go back in business, like go back
Go
in the
back.
day in business of some sort. He's rubbed hands and scratched the backs, I'm sure, of some high profile people. That's why he's able to get away with what he's able to get away with, and he's been able to keep his fortune. But so karma will spin the block, and
Real bad, real,
good
real bad.
luck,
And
Donald.
hopefully that person is not Mike Tyson.
He's done a lot of work on himself, but he's still a little photo off still.
Yeah, and his reactiveness to him when he patted him on the shoulder shows that that's it's still fresh. Like, he still don't F with him.
As he should. Listen, if he would have punched that old man in his face, I would have been like, well. You seems like you deserve it. I'm just gonna turn my chair.
And
Gotta
I'm
take my
also
life.
gonna, and on that last note though, I'm also gonna say that Mike Tyson did say that he does feel bad for hitting him.
That's lovely.
That's very lovely.
Maybe because it was such a big, like he's such a big guy, and then Don King is this like short and stout.
And the only reason why I don't care about it, because like when you look at the situation in just this one incident, you're just like, oh, he beat up this old man. But then you realize that Don King himself stomped out Sam Garrett to death.
To death, and his hands weren't registered weapons.
Right. Because people gonna look at Mike and be like, damn, Mike, why you do that?
He literally beat a man to death.
He literally has a picture of himself like this, like he doing. Like, it's just. He is a caricature. Like, it's like when you look at an Uncle Tom, like Don King's photo will come up. Like, this is crazy to me. All right, folks. With that, we are ending today's episode. Alyssa has to get to her life, and I gotta get to mine. We will be back again next week with a new episode of Crime at the Family Table. Have a good week, rest of your week, you guys. Bye.
Share this with your friends. Bye.